Let us pray. Gracious God, give us humble, teachable, and obedient hearts that we may receive what you have revealed and do what you have commanded. Amen. Our scripture today is entitled The Death of Moses. It's found in Deuteronomy, the 34th chapter. Hear now the word of God. Then Moses climbed Mount Nebo from the plains of Moab to the top of Pisgah, across from Jericho. There the Lord showed him the whole land from Gilead to Dan, all of Naphtali, the territory of Ephraim and Manasseh, all the land of Judah as far as the Mediterranean Sea and the Negev, and the whole region of the valley of Jericho, the city of palms, as far as Zoar. Then the Lord said to him, "This is the land I promised on oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob when I said, I will give it to your descendants. I have let you see it with your eyes, but you will not cross over into it." And Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in Moab, as the Lord had said. He buried him in Moab, in the valley opposite Beth Peor. But to this day, no one knows where his grave is. Moses was 120 years old when he died, yet his eyes were not weak, nor his strength gone. The Israelites grieved for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days, until the time of weeping and mourning was over. Now Joshua, son of Nun, was filled with the spirit of wisdom because Moses had laid his hands on him. So the Israelites listened to him and did what the Lord had commanded Moses. Since then, no prophet has risen in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, who did all those signs and wonders the Lord sent him to do in Egypt, to Pharaoh and to all his officials and to his whole land. For no one has ever shown the mighty power or performed the awesome deeds that Moses did in the sight of all Israel. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be unto God. Well, today is Commitment Sunday, and this has been a very strange stewardship campaign. Never in my wildest dream would I think that we would do a stewardship campaign remotely. The amount of prayer that I have prayed for this campaign is off the charts compared to what I have prayed in the past, because it's different. But our theme has been the cornerstones of stewardship. They're based upon our vision and mission statement. Those cornerstones are the action statements that are associated with how we are going to come to be the people we aspire to be. And so during this campaign, we watched Jim and Jackie Postma talk about passionate worship and discipleship. We saw Gretchen Butler talk about radical hospitality and radical congregational care. We saw Tim and Mary Beth Jeffrey talk about serving the greater good in ministry and mission. And today we heard, I forgot Kara's husband's name, but Mark and Kara talk about sharing the good news both locally and globally. And so we're talking today about those things. And you're probably wondering, what in the world does the death of Moses have to do with stewardship? Well, this is what it does. I just read for you the last chapter of the Torah, the last five books of the Bible, the first five books of the Bible. It's the story of the children of Israel getting ready to cross over into the promised land. But this is not the first time they've been there, is it? You see, some 40 plus years before, and even longer, the children of Israel were in slavery in Egypt. It was somewhere around 430 plus years in Egypt. And they cried out to God, and God called Moses out of a burning bush. And Moses admitted to God that he was ill-equipped for the task that he wanted him to do. But God equipped him. And in equipping him, he went back to Egypt. And he said to Pharaoh, "Let my people go." And Pharaoh said, "Okay." And then he changed his mind about 10 times. Each time he changed his mind, there God did a plague. And the last plague was the plague of the firstborn. In the middle of all of those things, they exit Egypt through the Red Sea. God gave to them a pillar of fire by night and a cloud by day. He protected them through the Red Sea. When they were thirsty, when they were out of Egypt, he gave them water. When they were hungry, he gave them manna, he gave them quail. When they grumbled, God answered, and they headed for the promised land. When they got to the promised land, they chose one spy from every tribe, each one. And they went into the promised land, and they came back with the same answer. Yes, this is a land flowing with milk and honey. It has abundance in the land. It is a wonderful place that God is going to give us. But there are giants in the land. Caleb and Joshua, two of the spies, said, "No problem. With God, we can accomplish anything." And then they had the dissenting report from the 10 spies, and they said, "Those giants will kill us. We cannot do this." And in that moment, they convinced the millions of children of Israel that they could not take the land that God had promised. And so when they said, "We can't take it," God said, "No problem. You'll never see it." So follow me as we wander through the desert for 40 years, to every single one of you is dead except for Joshua, Caleb, and Moses. And that's what they did. See, they were blinded. God had done miraculous things all the way through their lives, but they could not see what God had in store. Now, I'm going to tell you a story. It's just a story. I grew up in a small town in East Georgia, in Thompson, Georgia. It's about 30 miles west of Augusta. The population today in Thompson is about what it was when I was there growing up as a child and a youth. There's about 7,000 people in this massive metropolis. There is about a grand total of maybe 19,000 in the whole county. There is one high school in our county, kind of like DeKalb County. We got one high school, and that is a wonderful thing because the whole community is not a question of what team you're going to support. Everybody supports Thompson High School. That's what you were born to do. So everybody did. It was a great community to grow up in because all of us were in there together. Interestingly, when I was growing up, was known as a football town. You went to football games on Friday night. There's no telling the number of football games I went to from my second grade all the way through adulthood living in that town. We had a graduating class, the class of 1969, who, if they played on the football team, they never lost a football game. They were 10-0 as a B teamer as a freshman, 10-0 as a B teamer as a sophomore. They were state champions, 12-0, beat Westminster, the big city school. The country boys came to town and taught the folks at Westminster a lesson. We still brag about that, you know? And then they beat Carrollton the next year, 7-6, 12-0, 44 games in a row without losing a ball game. So when we came to town to play anybody in football, we had a swagger. And see, because we could see, we knew we were better than everybody. We had the entire county with us. People would close up shop on Fridays at 3 o'clock. Or 2 o'clock to go to a home game. If we were playing out of town, they'd close up the day before. We went to ball games. Small little school with maybe 125 in a graduating class. We'd have multiple Greyhound buses chartered to go to ball games. We had an attitude because we knew that everybody came with us. Now, you would think the children of Israel, the first time they got to the banks of the Jordan River, they could remember who was with them. God had a fire by night, a cloud by day. He had just done all those things through them and for them, and yet they couldn't trust that he would do that for them that time. So they wandered. 40 years later, God takes Moses back up on the mountain and shows him the promised land. He doesn't show him the land as it was. He showed him the land as it was going to be. You see, he describes the promised land as in where the tribes of Israel were going to live. Moses, look, that's where Dan, the tribe of Dan, it's going to meet up, it's going to be up in the north up here. And then we're going to have Naphtali down here. And then we're going to have Judah all the way to the Mediterranean Sea. And then we've got Benjamin here. And then we've got down all the way to the Negev. And right over there, there's Jericho. You know Jericho. That's where we're going to go. And we're going to go there first. But Moses, you aren't going to go. And the Bible says that Moses, at 120, his eyes were not weak, and he was still full of strength. Talk about a loving response to what God had done in his life, all his life, and even knowing he was not going to cross the Jordan, what he saw, his eyes were not weak, and he had strength. Because he knew what was in store for his brothers and sisters. Children of Israel, he could see what it was going to be. And that's kind of where we are today. It's Commitment Sunday. And really the question for us today is this the first time we've been to the banks of the Jordan? Or is this the second time? Do we remember all the ways that God has helped us throughout this pandemic? And all the things that God was doing in the life of this church before the pandemic, and all the ways God has helped us through it. Can we see what God has in store for us in the future after this pandemic, and through this pandemic if it doesn't end soon? You see, that's our question for the day. And my prayer is that when you look at what's in the future for Kingswood, I pray that your eyes are not weak. I pray that your eyes are not weak and there is strength knowing that God goes with us. I hope as you fill out and contemplate and pray about filling out your estimate of giving card, you'll remember that. Please don't make us wander around for 40 more years in the desert. Let's claim what God has in store for us if we're all committed. Let us pray. Lord God, we are grateful for your love, your grace, and your power. We pray, O God, that our eyes are not weak and we go in strength for what you have in store for us beyond this day, beyond this pandemic, and next year. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.